الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق وكما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam. Very famous hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم which most of us would be familiar with. However, to a very large extent, the import and subject matter of this hadith is also very greatly misunderstood. The hadith that I am referring to is where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam compared our deen Islam with an edifice or a structure that is based on five fundamental pillars. Buniya al-Islam wa ala khams. He said the foundation of Islam is five things. The shahadat of la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the establishment of salah, fasting in the month of Ramadan, zakat, and hajj. This hadith, every Muslim will be aware of it. However, as I mentioned, the import of this hadith to a very large extent is misunderstood. Many of us, our entire concept or understanding of what is Islam is restricted and confined to these five things. If you want to measure or judge the progress of a Muslim, we judge it on these five things. Iman, Salah, Fasting, Zakat, Hajj. Person who is regular with his Salah, is paying his Zakat, fasting in the month of Ramadan, etc., this has become the yardstick by which we measure the progress of a Muslim. However, if you look a little bit closer at the meaning of this hadith, Allah's Rasulullah said, Buniya, Bunyan, the foundation. Normally with anything that you, when you want to put up something, you start with the foundation. So what does this mean? That Islam starts with these five things. Somebody who is doing busy in somebody who has got experience in construction, ask him. If you want to build a building, if it costs you 1 million rand to put the foundation and the outer walls, it'll cost you another 2 million, double that, to finish the building, to complete it, to make it habitable, to make it attractive, to make it such that somebody wants to live in that building will cost you double what it costs you to put the foundation. Allah's Rasulullah is saying these five things is where Islam starts. This is the foundation of Islam. To become a Muslim, you have to have these five things. But what is the culmination of Islam? What is the perfection of Islam? Where does Islam want to take you? What will make you a representative of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this world? What will make you a source of rahmat and mercy and legacy, a legacy of rahmat and mercy to humanity? What is going to make Islam attractive to the non-Muslim? World population today, 6 or 7 billion. 1.5 billion is Muslim. That's 20%. Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't sent as rahmat lil muslimin or lil mu'mineen. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We sent you as a rahmat for the whole alam. 20% of the world population does not constitute alam. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. He said, O people, I am Allah's Rasul to everyone. بُعِثْتُ إِلَى الْأَسْوَدِ وَالْأَحْمَرِ. What is the link, perception, understanding of the legacy of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the other 80% of the world population. They are not in the masjid. They're not even allowed into Makkah and Medina. So they are not exposed to what today we consider to be Islam. What are they exposed to? They are exposed to the akhlaq and character and conduct, financial and social interaction and dealing of these Muslims. According to that, majority of humanity is forming a mindset or an understanding of what is Islam. Islam starts with these five things. Where does Islam want to take you? What is the perfection? What is the completion? What is the culmination of Islam? Another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Bu'ithtu, Allah sent me. Li'utammim. First hadith, bunyan, starting. This hadith, itmam. Itmam means completion, culmination, perfection. Bu'ithtu li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq. Allah sent me to complete Islam with what? With akhlaq. With character. And husna akhlaq. Character, my respected brothers, first requirement. First requirement of akhlaq and character is what? Is the purity and cleanliness of the heart. And unfortunately, we are living in an age, an era, a period. It is very, very easy. I say this many times. It is very, very easy to sit back and blame the media. And blame the propaganda machinery of batil. And blame the enemies of Islam for tarnishing the image of Islam and Muslims. That is very easy. And that is the shortcut and the easy way to get out. But take the thermometer. Take the thermometer. Use the measuring tape. What is the first yardstick of what a Muslim is? My respected brothers, akhlaq and character starts with the cleanliness of the heart. Is my heart clean? Or what is my heart full of? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion, he addresses Anas radiallahu ta'ala, and who is Anas? Anas is khadimun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the servant of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umm Sulaym, his mother, when this boy was 10 years of age, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina. She came to Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm giving this son of mine to you as your servant. And for the 10-year tenure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Munawwara, Anas was his shadow. This boy was his khadim. He says, خَدَمْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَشْرَ سِنِينَ. I made the khidmat. I was the servant of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. That same Anas, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him something. And this hadith is ajeeb. Why is it ajeeb? Because there is an addendum to this hadith. He gives him an instruction. Before I mention the instruction, I'm going to mention the addendum. What does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to him? He says, Ya Bunayya, O my son, وَذَلِكَ مِن sunnati. This what I am instructing you about, this is my way. وَذَلِكَ مِن sunnati. How many ahadith there are? How many sunnats of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there are? Wearing this kurta is sunnat, Islamic libas. Using a miswak is sunnat. Putting your shoe, right shoe on first is sunnat. Many sunnat. Many, many instructions, directives, practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But very few. My knowledge of hadith is limited. There are many amongst us who have much more knowledge. We can ask them. There are very few sunnat or hadith where we find this expression. وَذَلِكَ مِن sunnati. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says something and then what? To emphasize this. To emphasize the importance of this. What does he say? وَذَلِكَ مِن sunnati. Oh my son, Ya Bunayya, it was an affectionate term he was used for Anas. He would say, oh my son, this is my sunnat, my way. And he doesn't stop there. He says, وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ sunnati فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And the one who will love my sunnat loves me. And the one who loves me will be with me in Jannah. How many hadiths we find this? And what was the instruction? What was the... All this addendum is to emphasize the importance of the directive that is found in this hadith. Ya Bunayya, he addresses him. Oh my beloved son, اے میرے پیارے بیٹے, affection, love نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم had for Anas. ان استطعت ان تصبح وتمسي وليس في قلبك غش لاحد ففعل. He said, oh my beloved son, if you have the ability, this expression is found, ان تصبح وتمسي. What does this mean? The Sharihin of Hadith explained this. Tusbiha wa tumsiya. Namaz is 5 times a day. Fasting once a year is farz, 1 month. Zakat also once a year you have to discharge. Hajj is once in a lifetime. But this what I am telling you, oh my son, oh Anas, listen. This what I am telling you, tusbiha wa tumsiya. This is 24 hours a day. Whether you are young, whether you are old, whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whether you are healthy, whether you are sick, in every situation and every condition, this what I am telling you applies to that condition. And tusbiha wa tumsiya. What? What must I do all the time? What is it that is directed to me 24 hours of every day? Oh my son, if you have the ability, that all the time, laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahad, that in your heart there must be dislike, hatred, enmity, jealousy, malice. There must be none of these qualities towards anyone. Your heart must be clean. Dil ke safai. Cleanliness of the heart. No nafrat. No dislike. No looking down upon someone. No planning the downfall of someone else. No plotting against someone. Analyze ourselves, my respected brothers. We have become a society, Allah, Allah protect us, that today we have not remained an ummah. We are broken up. Gujarati, Memon, different languages, different colors. We are not an ummah, we are not brothers. Each one is just waiting for the next one to slip up. Somebody gains something, Allah gives him some rosy, Allah gives him some izzat. Instead of becoming happy, what happens? We become jealous. Sometimes you hear a rumor about somebody. Hear a rumor about somebody. There's no basis. Just heard a rumor and what happens? You got an opportunity now. Is this Islam? Is this what Rasulullah ﷺ taught us? Are we promoting the image of Islam? Ask ourselves this question. He said, oh my son, I am repeating. Oh my son, if you have the ability that day and night, 24 hours of the day, keep this heart clean. Don't have nafrat for anyone, dislike, hatred, enmity, jealousy. Clean this heart. These emotions will come. This is what this tusbiha wa tumsiya means. It's natural. The emotions will come. The ghubar will come. The dust will come. The dirt will come. But this is a jihad to clean this. Unfortunately, today when it comes to rolling our sleeves and going on the battlefield, that has become easy. When it comes to rolling our sleeves and standing up to somebody, we are very strong. But when it comes to fighting your own nafs, when it comes to becoming genuinely happy that your brother is prospering, or when it comes to turning a deaf ear to ghibat about somebody that you want to speak against, there we fail miserably. There this great mujahid and warrior of Islam is like a puppy. He's waiting maliciously to run somebody down. What are we doing? What are we doing? My respected brothers, what did my Nabi say? He says a person can reach the door of Jannat. A person can reach the door of Jannat and then he utters something, hurts someone, creates a split between someone. And what will happen? Allah protect us. My Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will throw him into the depths of Jahannam. All his ibadat will be wiped away. Why? The heart is not clean. What did he say? He said, my son, keep this heart clean. وَذَلِكَ مِن سُنَّتِي. This is my sunnah. This is my, call it special sunnah. And the one who loves my sunnah loves me. And the one who loves me will be with me in Jannat. One hadith explains this further. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sitting with Sahaba in the masjid. All of a sudden he addresses them. What does he say to them? يَتَّلِعُ عَلَيْكُمُ الْآنَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. He says, oh my Sahaba, just now from that door, from that door someone is going to enter. I, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, am telling you that person is a Jannati. Imagine the curiosity of Sahaba. Everyone, curiosity is peaked. Little while later, an elderly person, Ansari Sahabi, just made wudu. His beard is still wet with the wudu water. He's got his shoes in his hand. Simple person, he enters the masjid. Next day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says same thing. يَتَّلِيُ عَلَيْكُمُ الْآنَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. A Jannati is going to enter from that door. Same person, same condition, same hair. Third day, same thing happens. What happens? Amongst the Sahaba that are present, there is one youngster. His name is Abdullah bin Amr bin As. Before I mention this incident, I'll give you a little bit background about Abdullah bin Amr bin As to understand the veracity of this incident. Amongst the galaxy of Sahaba, this is that youngster which was probably the greatest ibadat guzar amongst all the Sahaba. He probably made more ibadat than the rest of the Sahaba. What was the ma'mool of this youngster? He would fast every day. Every day fast. And whole night tahajjud salah every day. And one khatam of Quran every day. This is that same youngster when he got married. After a few days, Amr bin As, his father, went to his daughter-in-law. Khair khairiyat puchne ke liye. Just to see everything is okay. Not to pry like nowadays what happens. How's my son treating you? Kaifa Abdullah. How is my son? Okay? And look at the women of that time also. Young woman, just newly married. They were not like nowadays women. The only time, I've mentioned this many times, the only time a wife will have anything good to say about a husband is before marriage and after he dies. In between, try and ask any wife about a husband and you'll hear things that will make the ears start paining. How is my son? How is your husband? Look at the response. What does she say? Ni'ma rajul. The best of men. The best of men. Kana yaqumul layl wa yasumun nahar. Every day in salah. Every day fasting and whole night salah. Immediately, what does the father discern? Why, if this youngster is fasting every day and he's making salah every night, where is he getting time to spend with his wife? What kind of marriage is this? He gets upset. She didn't complain. Look at the wisdom of this young woman, how she answers. But immediately he discerned the situation. He went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, this is what Abdullah is doing. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him, told him, Abdullah, this is not the way. Inna li zawjika alayka haqqan wa li nafsika alayka haqqan ila akhir al-hadith. That, oh Abdullah, your nafs has a right, your wife has a right, your family has a right, your body has a right, etc. Famous incident. This is some background to this youngster. Now he hears 3 days in a row that this man is a Jannat. He is thinking to himself, I make so much ibadat. What is this man doing? What is this person doing for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam 3 times in a row to say, Jannati, Jannati, Jannati. So what he does, he goes to this Ansari Sahabi and he says that, Uncle, I have a request. What is your request? He says, I want to be your guest for a few days. No problem, you're welcome. When night comes, Abdullah bin Amr goes, lies down on the bed, puts the blanket over his head and leaves one small gap, pretending to be sleeping to see what is so special, what ibadat is this man doing for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to say this. That Ansari Sahabi after Isha comes home, jumps in the bed, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya, and few minutes later he's snoring. Abdullah bin Amr is waiting, maybe after an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, he'll wake up, something he's doing. Right till Azan of Fajr, sleeping. Fajr Azan comes, wakes up, goes for Salah. Now Abdullah is even more confused. One hand, the prophecy of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is haq. Nobody can point a finger to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sadiqul Masduq. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ وَإِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. Other hand, this man is sleeping the whole night. So he says, maybe he wasn't well today, tomorrow something else will happen. So the next night, same thing, hides under the blanket looking. Same thing, Sahabi comes and sleeps the whole night. Third night, same thing. Now he can't contain himself anymore. Completely puzzled. This is anathema to him, it doesn't make sense. So much ibadat I am making. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying about this man, Jannati, Jannati, Jannati. And he comes home and sleeps the whole night, just goes for Fajr. So he couldn't contain himself. He says, Uncle, the reason I asked, I requested to become your guest, was that 3 days in a row, this is what we heard from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about you. What is it that you are doing? What amal? What wazifa? Tell me something that's special that you do. The Sahabi said, there's nothing. Nothing. So Abdullah bin Amr bin Ash, totally confused, is leaving the home of the Sahabi when he reaches the door. Then the Sahabi feels pity on him. He says, wait, come back. He says, now I'm going to tell you something inside. Andar ki baat. Bait ki baat. Andar, what's inside? He said, ala inni abitu. وَلَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِي شَيْءٌ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ He said, my youngster, I want to tell you something. There's no special amal I am doing. But, every night, before I go to sleep, I can stay with absolute conviction that in my heart, there is no nafrat. There is no dislike. There is no jealousy. There is no enmity. There is no hatred for any Muslim. My heart is clean. And when anyone, Allah gives him izzat, respect, or Allah gives him wealth, I genuinely become pleased at the prosperity of my Muslim brother. What is the reaction of Abdullah bin Amr bin Ash when he hears this? That, oh, okay, that's right. Now I realize what was confusing me. No, look at the reaction. Hada, hada balagha ma balagha. He jumps up and says, that is it. This is what you are saying. This is what you are saying has caused you 3 occasions for Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, Jannati, Jannati, Jannati. Why? What is our understanding? What is our understanding of what is Islam? What is our understanding of what will gain you Jannat? And what was the ta'lim and teaching of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Unfortunately, when Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did she say? Man taqama an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam li nafsihi. She said this jazba, this zeal, this fire of intiqam and revenge did not burn in the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My Nabi never took revenge. Today this quality of forgiving people, tolerance, overlooking, forgiveness is no more there in us. Like a child is nurtured, we nurture nafrat, dislike, revenge in our hearts. I want to sort this one out, I'm going to sort that one out. I'm going to do this to that person, I'm going to do this to that person. Which Islam is that? Where did we learn that? How close? ذَلِكَ مِن سُنَّتِي مَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي In Hunain, there was confusion. Sahaba started running. In that, one Sahabi, while running, he stamped his foot on the foot of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those days, the shoe was hard in the battle, like steel. So iron upon the foot of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in that shock, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ojatani! And he struck him with the staff that he had in his hand. You hurt me! And he struck him like that. That sahabi was finished. I heard the Nabi of Allah. That whole night, he's thinking all sorts of thoughts. I'm barbad, halak, destroyed. I heard Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wahi will come down about me. What is going to happen to me? The next day announcement is made, where is that individual whose foot tramped the foot of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yesterday? Now he's even more worried. What has happened? I'm finished. When he is brought in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, that I struck you with my whip yesterday. Here is 80 camels. Please accept this hadiah and gift and forgive me for the fact that I struck you. 80 camels! Call it in today's terms, 80 Mercedes-Benz, or 80 Range Rovers, or 80 Prados, whatever you want to call it. Because I struck you inadvertently, because you hurt me. Where is this akhlaq today? Where is this desire to forgive and engender love that is found today? Among Sahaba, there is one Sahabi, his name is Abu Dujana radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Who is Abu Dujana? والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار. The first صف of Sahaba, Ansari Sahabi. He was a Badri. He took part in Badr. He took part in all the campaigns. This is that Sahabi. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went for Hajjatul Wada, he appointed as Amir of Medina Munawwara in his absence Abu Dujana Ansari. This was the caliber of the Sahabi. In Uhud, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam addresses Sahaba before the battle. He takes out his own sword. He says, who will take my sword and fight in the battle? All Sahaba stand up, each one eager. Ya Rasulullah, give it to me. Ya Rasulullah, give it to me. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes an addendum. Who will take my sword and utilize it to its haq? Everyone sits down. Three Sahaba remain standing. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Zubayr bin Awam, the son of the aunt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Abu Dujana Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives his sword to Abu Dujana Ansari radiallahu anhu. And he says, utilize it to its haq. Umar gladly accepted the decision of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Zubayr bin Awam was not happy inside. I am the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am a muhajir. And he was a person known for his bravery. So inside he objected. He didn't say anything openly. But he said, I'm going to observe Abu Dujana. Why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give him the sword? I'm cutting the incident short. Time is limited. 3,000 enemies, Zubayr bin Awam says, Abu Dujana Ansari went forward with such ferocity that he crossed the 3,000. And behind the men who practiced in those days, they would bring their women. There were women from the Quraysh that were singing ash'ar poems. Nowadays, you see, in all these useless functions, cheerleaders dancing and jumping. People in the days of Jahiliyyah also would do these foolish things. The women of Quraysh were singing, نَحْنُ بَنَاتُ طَارِقِي نَمْشِي عَلَى النَّمَارِقِي وَالْمِسْكُ فِي مَفَارِقِي وَالْدُرُّ فِي مَخَالِقِي إِن تُقْبِلِي نُعَانِقِي وَإِن تُدْبِرُوا نُفَارِقِي فِرَاقُ غَيْرُ غَامِقِي. These type of poems they were reciting to encourage the men to fight. So Abu Dujana had crossed the entire army. And when the women saw him coming with a sword in his hand, they started running. Hinda, in that confusion, remained the wife of Abu Sufyan. She was the one who chewed the liver of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala later on. She became a Muslim in Fatah Makkah. But at that time, a disbeliever, the sword came, was brought right up to her head. And then Abu Dujana would pull the sword back. So Zubayr bin Awam asked him, why did you do that? He said, she was a woman. How could I use the sword of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to draw the blood of a woman? Islam has prohibited us from hurting women, from hurting children, from hurting the elderly. This will not be using the sword of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to its haq. This was the caliber of Abu Dujana Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This what I mentioned is just a little bit of background. The point, in the latter part of his life, one day he says, Inna arja amali indi. Inna arja amali indi. What does this mean? In layman's terms, what does this mean? What is the Sahabi saying? He's saying, the amal which I have the greatest hope that Allah will make my maghfirat on this amal is what? Who is saying this? Abu Dujana Ansari. Which amal is he referring to? Badr? Bukhari Sharif hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى اِتَّلَى عَلَى أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالَ اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ إِنِّي غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. Allah looked at the Sahaba, took part in Badr, and Allah said, do what you want, Jannat is wajib for you. Hudaybiyah, Allah said, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Sahaba in Hudaybiyah, Allah is happy with them. Quran says, إِنَّ أَرْجَى عَمَلِي عِنْدِي. Is it Badr? No. Uhud? No. Hunayn? No. Hudaybiyah? No. Khandaq? No. Every expedition he was there. Yet what is he saying? What is the amal that I have the greatest hope on this amal Allah will make my maghfirat? They asked him, what is it? What would you and I expect it to be? What was his response? Ma aadaytu ahadan bilisani walaysa fi qalbi ghill ahad. Allahu Akbar. What does he say? The greatest amal on which I have the hope that Allah will make my maghfirat is what? that up till today, with my tongue, I have never hurt anyone. With my tongue, I have never hurt anyone. And in my heart, when anyone progresses, I have absolutely no reservation. In fact, I become happy about it. Illa man atallaha bi qalbin salim. What does Quran say? Meet Allah with a clean heart. Meet Allah with a clean heart. One is kabira, guna's major sins that blacken his heart. On the other hand, nafrat, hasad, hatred, dislike, jealousy, enmity, to harbor ill feelings, to harbor malice. This is destroying the heart. This is destroying the a'mal of this ummah, like fire destroys a'mal. And this is destroying the unity of this ummah. We have failed. Blame the media, it is easy. Are we ambassadors of Islam today? When we open our mouth, what comes out? What comes out? Ghibat about someone, swearing someone. A little a staff of us makes a little bit mistake. Swear his mother, swear his father, and think nothing of it. Wallah, my respected brothers, this is a fire that is destroying the amal of the ummah. We want jannat, we want the highest echelons in akhirat. What does my nafi say? Laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahad. Clean this heart. Clean this heart. Clean this heart. Allah will not just give you jannat. Allah will give you the ma'iyat of his nabi in jannat. And in this world, you will become an ambassador and a representative of Islam. Allah give us tawfiq wa khidmah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.